your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Today I'm joined by Toby Leibowitz, Executive Vice President and Co-Head Legal Affairs at Jushi. And for everybody who's listening in, Jushi is a national multi-state premium cannabis operator. Toby, it's really awesome to have you on the show. And I know that you're in some serious severe weather right now. So if anybody hears some thunder, it's coming from Florida right now with Toby. So great to have you on, Toby.
Thank you, Jeff. I really am so excited to be here. And yeah, it's afternoon during the summer in South Florida. So that's what you get.
It happens, right? In the afternoon, it's like clockwork.
It does.
So Toby, it's, you know, it's great to have you on. And obviously, you know, we're doing some great work together. So I was excited to chat. But, you know, really exciting. You've been at Jushi for, you know, a long time, really since its inception. And I thought it'd be nice to kick off the show and really talk about, you know, what has really happened with the company, what has changed. You know, you guys have been growing leaps and bounds. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, what's been going on at the company.
Sure, I'd love to. So Jeff, I was employee 15. I mean, I'm probably a little off on that number, but that I think I keep saying that for the last year. So we're just sticking with the 15. I was brought in to really, I had a corporate law background and have worked at public companies, a public company, and I've been outside counsel and obviously worked with other public companies in the past. So I was brought on for the purpose of Jushi going public, and also I'm a litigator, so there was some litigation going on. So that's what kind of brought me into the company, and we're now over 1,000 employees, you know, 2.5 years later, which is just incredible. If you would have told me that 2.5 years, I think I would have said that's where we were going to be, but I would have, you know, not really, you know, the time goes by so quickly. But, you know, a lot of things have changed. You know, I think that, you know, with you've got a growth, you know, we didn't have any operations when I first started, and we were primarily an M&A shop. Going public at the same time as we were closing some of our, you know, really initial important deals, one being our Pennsylvania acquisition for the medical dispensaries, and then two, hiring the clinic personnel who are cannabis experts and working with them on creating some of the clinic branding and then creating our own brands. That was all going on at the same time as we were preparing to go public in June of 2019. And here we are now with, you know, operations across 6 states, in, you know, vertically integrated in Virginia. And we are touching the manufacturing and cultivation and retail and medical, you know, pieces of the pie, kind of in all of those, you know, different 6 states, not in every state, but, you know, among, you know, across them. And, sure. So it's changed a lot. I used to wear a bunch of different hats, though. My title has always been EVP and co-head of legal affairs that I share with, Matt Leith, who is awesome. Mm-hmm. But we've always done more than just practice law, which is a lot of work, even just to practice law in the cannabis space. So I, you know, I no longer really do a ton of treasury work or investor relations work or run our insurance program. I get to practice law mostly now, which has been great. Though I did enjoy doing a lot of that stuff in the beginning because it was really exciting to get to kind of put your fingerprints on all different facets of the business. And that's really why I joined. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and I've gotten to really put that to use at this company. And the company has given that back to me, really given me the opportunity to learn a new industry. Like I said, be able to touch a bunch of different facets of the business and really grow as an attorney too. I'd started to become a generalist in my last position, but I've really just learned about so many different areas of the law, including cannabis regulations, which should be its own separate practice.
Right.
But so a lot has changed, Jeff, but all for the good. And I just feel like, you know, we'll just continue going on this trajectory of growing and learning and just becoming better people in what we do, and in turn, a better company.
Totally. Well, let's talk about compliance for a second, because obviously with such a large, huge operation in multiple states, multiple brands, you know, how are you guys really, you know, staying on top of everything, understanding all the local laws, making sure that you guys are kind of, you know, on par with everything?
Yeah, no, I mean, that is a challenge for anyone, you know, working in this space and running a business in this space. We are fortunate enough that our C-suite and senior management respect, the legal department, and also we manage our compliance department, falls underneath us as well. And really, in the beginning, when we were, you know, first forming this company, we decided to just take like a very hands-on approach, mm-hmm. and try to be, you know, business partners rather than kind of telling everyone, you know, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. And here's how I think you should do it.
Right.
And so we had our compliance department jump right in every time we acquired a company, or we were able to organically win a license and grow that license. We've had them, you know, jump in at the inception, you know, pre-planning, you know, transition, all that kind of stuff to make sure that we have SOPs. We don't just hand people the regulations and say, here, you know, you need to follow these. You know, we try to really distill the information. And a lot of the states require you to have, you know, standard operating procedures anyways that distill that in easy to follow forms for your employees and your management and stuff like that. So SOPs are really kind of, I think, the key to kind of, it's not a secret, everyone does it, but the industry. But once you have those SOPs, and the next piece is really training. Again, hand somebody a booklet of SOPs that may or may not apply to the job that they're doing every day. That's not really helpful. So we are standing up a state-of-the-art learning management system. We're basically growing. We've decided to grow that internally. So we've hired people who have done this as consultants and internally at other companies in the past, and basically have gathered all of our SOPs and created these amazing training modules that can constantly be updated. So we're really taking advantage of the newest technology that's out there in the training side, and making sure that that's what we're using, so that if something changes, we can, instead of having to change our entire training system, we can just take a piece of it and kind of, you know, put in what's changed or update it. So that's been, we're in kind of development of that, but we've also at the same time, because you can't, you know, just develop it, we've been, you know, already training off of it and kind of manually as well. And then really, I mean, we grew mostly as an acquisitive company, through, you know, mergers and acquisitions, and we, continue to, you know, look for, you know, things to buy, but we have a philosophy of really going in early, putting together a strong transition team, making sure that during due diligence that the company that we're acquiring has, you know, SOPs in place, is following the regulations, and then, you know, verifying that once we've acquired the company, and we kind of have like a SEAL team of transition people. We have a, you know, transition manager, project manager who takes kind of the experts from each part of the business and brings them together, and they kind of just dive in day one and make sure that the company's running the way, the juicy way, you know, compliantly and using you best practices. So those are kind of like the three main things that we do. There's a ton of other things that go along with that, hiring good people, you know, constantly educating ourselves and researching, you know, the next piece of legislation that's coming out. But as far as like a organization as a whole. It's really having those SOPs, training, and making sure that when we acquire companies that they're also on the same page as us.
Awesome. And so I've always wondered this, but talk to me about the name Jushi. I don't know. And every time it comes up in conversation, I'm like, what an interesting name.
Yeah. So Jushi, and I always tell people it's, you know, sushi with a J, because you right. can only imagine the different ways that people pronounce the name of the company. But basically it has a special meaning. It was one of the oldest ancient tribes in Asia that has been known to have used cannabis medically. Wow. And there was, don't pin me down. I don't like know the exact dates, but I want to say a couple of decades ago, there was a burial for one of the shamans of this tribe, and they found cannabis like at the head of the burial, kind of signifying that it was like a healing, piece of their culture. And so it's really driving at like the health and wellness, side of our business.
It's kind of it's a fun name to say too.
Yeah.
Jushi.
Yeah. Yeah. You won't, it's different from all the other MSOs. Like it's just kind of out there, which I like having the name Toby, I like being different and people remember those type of things.
Well, we get it too at Philo. I have to literally tell everybody before anyone says anything on a call, I have to say Philo because they say Philo. So
what is Philo? What's the meaning of that?
Oh, so Philo has multiple meanings, but it also means, between friends and leaves and layers. I've been told, I get this all the time from people, I think in Sweden it also means you're drunk, which is kind of fun. So we're constantly getting different, terminologies for the name of our company. But, I definitely know, what it's like when people pronounce it wrong.
That's cool.
Toby, talk to us a little bit about the different brands, because you guys have so many interesting, brands out there. Obviously, you've got Tasteology, and you've got The Lab, and The Bank, and Nira. And they're all, all the products themselves are quite beautiful. And obviously, some of them are, more focused on the medical side. But when you guys are out there in the marketplace and you're talking about the brands, what are some of the things that really differentiate you guys?
Yeah, so I think that we're always, doing research and gathering data and trying to see, we're really driven by the consumer, like every, retail medical company should be. And when we're developing these products, but we have a great creative team led by Dre Newman, our chief creative director. And some of these are just homegrown brands like Tasteology, Nira Plus Medicinals, and Sachet. We're fortunate enough to acquire the brands, The Bank and The Lab, when we did that acquisition that I was talking about before when we're going public. The Bank and The Lab are manufacturing, brands. Like they're the brands that we, are able to, after the cultivation, move into the manufacturing phase and make, different products from. And then Tasteology is our edibles. You've got Nira Plus Medicinals, which are like tinctures and things that, like for fast relief, I think soft gels too. And then Sachet is like our kind of our brand of flower that's at a really affordable price point for consumers. We really want to make sure that we have something for everybody at different price points and different lifestyle preferences. And so we're always, like I said, researching, what consumers are looking for. We're focusing on women now. One of the interesting, I think it's the year of the the woman for cannabis, but there's still work to be done. But I think I'm just going to repeat that over again until it becomes the truth. But basically, you know, women have the power of the purse and are really getting into the market where they haven't been before. And so we're doing a lot of research on what women want, which is sometimes different than the rest of the entire, you know, market. Just colloquially, you know, my friends of mine are interested in things that are discreet, things that you can, you know, put in your purse and use and maybe not smell, you know, of the kind of the cannabis, you know, smell. So, that's one thing that we're really focusing in on and trying to, and partnering with other companies, outside of our brand, but then of our, you know, internal brands, to see what's out there to put in our stores, but then also looking internally to see what we can do as kind of like the next level.
Awesome. And, you know, just from a, you know, kind of growth perspective, you know, as you guys are, you know, in multiple states, is there, when you guys are thinking about expansion and acquisition, are there certain states that you guys are specifically targeting, or you're just kind of, you know, looking around? Like, what's the strategy there, if you could share?
Sure, sure. So, so what I can tell you is that, you know, we're really focused on kind of our three main states that that we currently have under our belt, which is, you know, Pennsylvania, which is arguably the best medical market in the entire United States. Virginia, which is vertically integrated. We've built out a cultivation and manufacturing facility, and which has a dispensary within it, but we have the ability to expand to 6 retail dispensaries. We're testing delivery there. With, you know, during pandemic, we're in Pennsylvania allowed to do more kind of contactless type of transactions. So we were able to grow our curbside pickup and express pickup there. So that, which we've gotten great, great feedback about. We also have a couple more stores that we can, that we're building out in Pennsylvania that we're allowed to open under a license. And in Illinois, you know, we're always looking around to see what other opportunities are available. So definitely kind of folk, as far as M&A goes, you know, I mean, we've already acquired those, you know, in those areas, but there's always like an Illinois growth to be had, with the right partner. And in Pennsylvania, there's definitely, we were lucky enough to be able to acquire a manufacturing and cultivation facility about a year ago, right smack in the middle of the pandemic, which was a very interesting trend. It was like the first transaction we all did remotely, which kind of proved what a strong team we had because it was very interesting to do a large acquisition like that, not with your teammates in person. But Pennsylvania, we're really just focusing on building out what we have. Same with Virginia. And if there are opportunities that present themselves in Illinois or in California, you know, that's kind of where the branding all comes out of. And everybody kind of knows your name from the California area. Like, we're definitely open to it, but we've gotten definitely more picky. We've acquired great things, but definitely in the acquisitions, you know, we're looking for things that are good deals, but also well run, and things that we can acquire and have a smooth transition, and that are compliant.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you guys have obviously been doing a great job. You've been expanding, growing, acquiring. And, you know, I think just kind of as a final question, you know, is there an actual, you know, secret behind all of Jushi's success? And of course, you know, only things that you could share. But, you know, it's been really fun to watch you guys grow, you know, over the last few years. And I don't know, maybe there's something that, you know, some folks could also learn that's, you know, kind of public.
Sure, sure. So it's not a secret. We tell everyone, but our quote secret sauce is our management team. Jim Cassioppo, our CEO and chairman, made it a priority day one to hire kind of the best of the best. He's very always picky, but like very thoughtful in the way, in you know, the way he hires people and who he hires to join the team. And we've, for the most part, you know, we've gone through some changes, but we've kept the mostly the same core team since the beginning, which I'll say was when I was employee 15 was the beginning in my mind. That I think they had a whole year of beginnings before then. And that's the same team that's continued to lead us to grow us into over $1 billion, you know, dollar market cap company. And that has, we've, you know, been able to navigate this crazy industry and the capital markets and all that sort of stuff. My team has grown by a lawyer and we're, hiring another lawyer. We've been recruiting, but besides that, it's the same three attorneys. There's a fourth also in our government affairs department, but the same three or four attorneys have been there since the beginning as well. So we've been fortunate enough that we hire people with, you know, financial, legal, cannabis acumen, fold them into the company, and that they've stayed because we're, you know, we have a shared vision to what we all think Jushi should be in the next couple of years.
Awesome. Well, you know, Toby, from an Alchemy perspective, I know you've listened to some of the episodes, but basically, you know, we talk a little bit about business in the beginning and then we end the show with our questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready than I'll ever be, Jeff.
Toby, I promise they'll be very easy.
Okay.
Okay, so first question, what's your hidden talent?
So it's semi-hidden, but I am a self-trained vegan chef.
A self-trained vegan chef. That's interesting.
Yes, my sister had been vegan for a very long time and convinced me to go vegan because I had basically cut everything out of my diet over the years and ended up basically being vegan. And then we kind of just share recipes back and forth for the last couple of years. And we you know, have friends and friends of friends who ask us for advice. And we help them like meal plan. And it's just like on the side, like just a fun thing. It's not a business or anything. So,
I definitely got to connect you with Chad, who's my partner in the business. And he's recently vegan and gluten-free.
Oh, I can help him.
So, and I know that he's, you know, we go out to eat a lot and I'm like, I don't think there's anything on this menu that you can have, but his wife has been cooking for him an awful lot. So I'm sure he can get some great recipes from you.
Absolutely.
Okay. So on that note, and I kind of kept the theme here with food, but if you had to eat one thing for every meal going forward, what would it be?
Okay, so if this was like a pretend world and I would be fine in a healthy way eating the one food every day, I would say chocolate. But if it has to be like a real food, you know, then it's chickpeas, which I love both of them.
Yummy. Yeah. Okay. If someone were to play you in a movie, who would you want it to be?
That's a hard one, but... I've always really liked Julia Roberts. I'm an 80s kid, so Julia Roberts it is.
Julia Roberts?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, she played an attorney one time.
She did. Was that Erin Brockovich?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I can see that. Okay, last question. Where is your happy place?
My happy place is with my family on vacation. Without the laptop.
I'm a plus one with you. Cool. Well, listen, you know, Toby, it was great to have you on. And, you know, obviously, you know, my team loves working with you guys. And, you know, congrats on all the success and all the growth. And hopefully it's still not thundering.
It actually stopped right when we finished.
There you go. Now the sun is going to come out and, you know, just in time for the end of the day. But you know, thanks for coming on the show. And it was great to have you. And I'm sure everybody who's listening in too will probably try and find a Jushi retailer near them.
I hope they do. We're actually under the name of Beyond Hello. And you can find us on www.beyond-hello.com. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you, Jeff, and getting to know you and the rest of your team. We've really enjoyed that journey and look forward to continuing it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Toby. And, you know, wishing you clear skies the rest of the week.
You too. Take care.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.